Welcome to Minute Impossible. It's Friday. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise, 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Tabitha.
And I'm Julia.
Welcome back, Julia and Tabitha. We are here for the final minute and the greatest minute of this movie, and we all get to share it together on this Friday.
I feel like we should give a great big hug when we all jump in the air.
Yeah, group hug. Group hug.
In the air.
Yay!
It's hard to hug on this giant four man motorcycle that we're all riding right now, but maybe we can all just like pat each other on the back, and I'll just pat whoever's behind me on the face.
There you go.
Okay. Use the rearview mirror to aim.
I use the rearview mirror and poke you with my gun.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks. This minute begins with a bike joust. That's right. I said bike joust. Mm-hmm. And ends with Ethan having Ambrose in a sleeper hold.
Sleeper.
Guys, this it's amazing that this scene and the last scene are connected and in the same movie.
Yeah.
Because the last minute was boring and like the room of minutes of Minute Impossible. It was like the movie The Room. It was like a terrible knockoff version of what humans think a motorcycle chase should be. And then this is exactly what I think a motorcycle chase and or whatever should be. Tabitha, you have a name for this, right?
I have a name for this. Oh, just the air hug? Are you talking about
the air hug?
Yes, the air hug. I did not think of that. That is yours. You have coined the air hug. Because I think when I asked you about these minutes, you're like, can I have the minutes with the air hug? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I had never thought of it that way.
They all just want to get along.
Yeah. Now, the physics in this are a doozy.
Yeah.
If by doozy you mean not real. And fake.
What?
This whole movie's a doozy.
What? Fake? This is the most real minute of the entire movie.
It is. First of all, let's talk about this. They are about maybe 50 yards away from each other on these motorcycles, and they rev them up, look at each other, and then both of them just launch into riding. They're going so fast that they do a wheelie in the sand.
Both of them.
At the same time. And they're riding toward each other in this weird jousting chicken game of motorcycle joust, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. They ride toward each other. And then at the last second, they do what anyone would do on a motorcycle. They hurl themselves forward off of the motorcycle. How far in the air?
At least 6 feet? Like 10 feet in the air. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And it's going to be definitely the screenshot for this minute. The screenshot for this minute is them in the air.
But my the best part about it to me is how do they launch themselves off? It's like there's no launching place. Tom literally looks like he's floating off of his bike.
Oh, he Lost Boys levitates.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at least you don't see Ambrose. I mean, they both literally just fly off of the bikes. It's awesome.
It's almost like when their bikes are, like how it could even possibly, well, that's what they do. When their bikes are passing, they jump when the bikes are passing, which then makes them connect together.
Yeah.
Oh, and like a spinning move.
Yeah.
Like yeah, they were like right next to each other. When they reach out with their hands, they both stop themselves because they're each going the opposite direction.
Right.
So the bikes keep going and they just fall off. Mm-hmm. That's not as cool as what just happens.
No.
They do a giant air hug.
The bikes don't look like they're about to hit, but then they obviously do hit. It looks like the bikes pass each other when they air hug.
As the bikes hit each other, we get the reminder Ethan's bike is leaking gasoline.
Yeah. But again, in the shot when they're flying in the air, the bikes just pass one another. They don't hit each other. So it's a nice little editing trick.
Right. So until I was watching this minute by minute and, you know, going over it again and again, I thought the bikes hit each other and that's why it blew up.
That's what it's supposed to be.
I'm not sure.
But that's not what actually happens.
No, because then you see Ambrose's bike fall to the ground.
Exactly.
Without any sign of, like, crashing or burning.
Yeah, it's only Ethan's bike that explodes. It's only Ethan's bike that explodes.
So if Ethan would have been on his bike for like another second, he would have exploded.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And Ambrose's bike just falls to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that gives us a motivation for what Ethan does.
Yeah.
He knows that his bike's in bad condition. He knows he needs to get off of it. Why on earth does Ambrose do this?
Because he wants to be just like Ethan.
It's like the mirror of
I mean,
Ethan.
That does seem to be the motive for this entire movie.
Is Ambrose yes, he wants jealousy. To kill. He wants to kill the thing that he loves the most, which is being Ethan. He hates it more than anything, but also loves it and needs to kill it. So he is Ethan Hunt. And Ethan's motorcycle explodes. And the guys, not only do they air hug, they then completely turn directions and fall forward. They've gone up. First of all, they've defied physics and gravity by jumping off a moving motorcycle forward.
Defying gravity.
They've leapt 10 feet in the air, and then they've also turned at a 90-degree angle and fallen off the cliff. Did the explosion push them?
I don't know. I guess maybe they were close enough to the edge of the cliff to just fall over.
Yeah. I kind of think that's what's going on.
Is that when you frame by frame it, like at second 24, you see Ethan's bike flying off into the air, and Ethan's there just falling backwards by himself, it looks like. Doesn't even look like he's got anybody hugging him. It's just one person there. It's a quick shot, quick frame.
I love it.
It's very, very good editing. So, I mean, you know, that really helps it because it's so quick that you, unless you're looking at it minute by minute or second by second, you're not going to notice it. And you're just into the moment and the excitement of the air hug that just moves.
Mm-hmm. And they get to air hug all the way to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a painful hug at the bottom.
Yeah, that's a long way to fall.
Oh my goodness, you'd have to break something. That is a long, hard fall.
I do appreciate that they at least take a moment to be like, ow, that hurt.
Yeah.
I can't get up right now.
Yeah, because they didn't fall on like the, there's a couple different pillowy areas of sand that look very nice. They fall on compacted, hard-ass sand right next to a rock. And they're both just like, which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't last that long.
No.
But, I mean, these are professionals. So they've been in situations this painful before where they needed to immediately get up and defend themselves.
And Ethan will certainly be in more positions like this in future years. So
yeah. This is practice for later movies.
I also like that the one shot of the gun.
Yeah.
For those sticklers, they're like, yeah, what, didn't Ethan have a gun? Well, yeah, now it's gone. Well, I think Ambrose had a gun, too. Was one of them out of bullets that we knew of?
I don't know, but I know one of the guns falls in one area, and then the other one comes out of the jacket.
Right, because that's Ethan's gun. That's Ambrose's gun.
Ethan falls to the ground, and then they do that quick zoom into it. The cutaway.
Don't forget about me. I'm here too.
And the other one falls out of, Ambrose's Canadian tuxedo.
Oh, we see this. You guys get the full denim suit in its glory on the beach.
Covered
the way
in
denim's
sand.
Meant to be. You know what? The only thing that I think could make denim feel more uncomfortable is to add sand.
Yep.
it's so gross.
Denim suits are already feel like you're wearing sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it's so warm.
I wouldn't know what denim suits feel like.
Well, you haven't lived.
Apparently.
I suppose if you wore a jean jacket and jeans, then you almost
buy two jean jackets, put one on your legs and the other one on your body, and walk around like that.
I have jeans, and I have a jean jacket, but if I dared to wear them together, I could not show my face in my office.
But you'd also need
A
denim shirt and tie.
Oh, I don't have that. I don't have a denim
and
shirt.
Also a lot of sand. Can you put a lot of sand in them and then walk around?
I live near the coast. I can find sand.
Okay. That'd be like a lot of chafing going on.
Oh, yeah. Now, Ambrose
it's
is
summertime,
feeling
summertime. That's happening anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's not dressed to fight.
No.
The first thing Ethan does is take off that jacket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he can get in some sweet, sweet punches. And kicks. A lot of kicks. It's a very kicky movie.
Ethan makes that sort of spinny kick at the beginning and knock Ambrose on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
Or off his feet, you know.
Oh, that was a beautiful kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was just going to start breakdancing, but then decided he just make use of it.
Yeah, and he does the spin, the little spin kick where you put your leg around and gets Ambrose on the ground. Ambrose is going for the gun, and Ethan wants to just beat him up. Mm-hmm. Ethan could have grabbed that gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of those dumb tropes. I mean, guys, you're on a timetable, and you're wanting to beat this guy up. It's like, just shoot him.
Yeah.
Let's move on. But instead, this is also you could say goodbye to the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was noticing
that. The Oakleys are gone.
It's pretty amazing that they've stayed on this long.
Yeah, it's a blessing that they just made it this far. Yeah. After 2 weeks of motorcycle chases and running into things with, you know, rusty things.
But this is the minute that Jonathan and I rewound and watched the whole thing, or watched it again, the very first time that we watched this movie. It's like, what? No way that this happened.
I remember because you guys also texted me, and you're like, "What is happening?"
It was so crazy.
And you guys were like live tweeting it to me as you were doing. You're like, "Oh, this is pretty bonkers. Oh, this is weird." And then you're like, "Oh my god,
what just happened? This is the best."
Which is awesome. That's an awesome way to get through a movie, because you're like, "Okay, that's why a lot of these John Woo or Hong Kong cinema movies, these movies resonate with us." I know. With Chris and I, when we would watch these, you go to a rental and you had no idea what they were, and you'd rent like some Jackie Chan movie or something, and you'd put it in and you'd be like, okay. And there'd be like three great action scenes that would sell you within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're like, God, this movie's awesome. It's not awesome. It's not a good movie.
It isn't.
And that's why I think this is so good, because this movie also, Chris, is not a good movie.
No, I get that. But
the action is so ridiculous at this point that I am so happy that I don't care anymore.
No,
the last 20 minutes have been erased. The last horrible 20 minutes where it's just been this bizarre chase for no reason is gone. Mm-hmm. Not 20 minutes, 10 minutes, last 10 minutes. It's so satisfying.
Oh, yeah.
At the very beginning, when they're just revving the engines and it's shots going back and forth between them, mm-hmm. it feels like you could, when I'm listening to it, watching it right now without the sound on, you could almost put like a Western music, like the exactly.
Yeah, good,
this is a high noon showdown.
Yep.
All right, we'll get Rick to do that.
Yep. Let's put him on it.
Rick has become our dub over guy.
It'd be perfect.
I wonder what other music works there, too. I bet a lot.
I'm sure there's some Renaissance-type jousting music that could work over that. Put some horse neighing and whinnying in when they're when they go up do their papa wheelies. And yeah, that would work.
Do you think this also works with Oh Yeah from the couple weeks ago?
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Especially once they hit, you hear the chicka-chicka.
Right when they hit each other.
Yeah, right when they air hug. Now, I mentioned it last at the end of the last minute, but yeah, this air hug was so popular that they nipped it for Planet of the Apes that Tim Burton made the next year, you know, which I thought was hilarious. They did the exact same stunt, only without motorcycles. It's just the apes running at each other.
Is this one of those scenes where you don't think about it till just now, but this is the first time that Ethan has hit our bad guy? This is our first punch. The first time they've been in the same room.
First time they've been face to face like this. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they have not been, I mean, he was in the room when he was, fake stamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But have they been in the room together at any point in this movie? I'm like going back through the whole movie. This is the last 10, basically the last 10 minutes of the movie.
No, because the first time they are together in a room is Biosite. And they're not face to face.
Yeah, that's right. They are in a room together. Right. Okay.
But they're not in the room per se, face to face like this, where they're interacting with each other. They're shooting at each other.
But definitely the first punches.
Yeah, these are definitely the first punches.
All right.
It does seem to be maybe the nature of espionage type movies that the antagonist and the protagonist don't really spend that much time together in the same
room. That makes
sense.
Because they've all got their henches. You send out your henches to kill the bad guy, or send out your henches to kill the good guy. Yeah. Ambrose doesn't seem that good until the end of the minute. He seems to be getting his clock cleaned.
Yeah.
And then he comes in with a weird leg crunch, that weird move that no normal person can do, where you take the guy and you kind of elbow them down in the leg, mm-hmm. and it somehow paralyzes the other person. I don't know what that move's called. I'm sure it has a name.
You're swiping the leg.
That's where you grab it, and then you like almost like you're hitting it so that it bends another way. Yeah. I mean, basically what he did was he twisted him until he fell on the ground.
Yeah, like using the foot to twist the whole leg.
Yep. Otherwise, he would break his leg if he didn't.
Force him to fall. Yeah.
Yep. And then Ethan jumps back up on top of him and gets him into a headlock, a sleeper hold.
Yeah.
Which is a very nice frozen shot at the end of that.
Yeah, they have funny fight faces. Yeah. It's just Ambrose like gag
with like sand stuck on his face. At least he has sand on his face. That's good.
Yeah, that feels like a nice detail.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know it gets everywhere.
Yeah, it does.
It's coarse.
It gets everywhere. At least it was actually him and not his stunt double.
Yeah.
That's true.
Is this the first time I've seen Ambrose make this face? Well, he made kind of this face when he shot Hugh, but he was screaming. But this is the shot that's going to transfer into next week's big fight scene. And does Ambrose think he is a match for Ethan? I think he does.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
Do we as the audience? I'm wondering, though. Ethan is like the head of the IMF's training at this point. Like he's like not training, but their head of their like their best team. He's the A team. Ambrose is definitely B or C team.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is it just pure ego?
Yeah, definitely.
That has driven him this entire time that he is the best. I mean, his whole plan's gone down. He has no money. He's not getting the $30 million. He's lost the girl. Literally lost the girl because he also she's going to die of an infection. So he's not going to win.
I agree that this is ego in a bad way, but I guess playing devil's advocate a little bit, imagine being the B team or the C team and how mm-hmm. that feels. That sucks, knowing that someone else is the A team and you're just kind of there too.
And especially when you have to wear his face.
And especially when it's, you know, Ethan Hunt and, you know, oh, Ethan Hunt, I got to follow him.
He does everything right.
He does everything.
He took on the entire CIA and won.
Exactly.
You should know they remember. This is a good place to talk about where they are. They're at Boora Point. B-O-O-R-A Point. It's near Bear Island. It's outside of Sydney. Again, it's close, but it's not close. The way they drove would not have gotten them where they needed to get. So this was added later. You can go to this speech if you want to. I expected a picture from Julia and Rick when they go.
No problem.
Okay, just add this to the list. Can you guys get in the sand and like fight?
Okay, sure.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not sure you'd want to watch that video, but
I totally want to watch that video. Put Rick in a denim suit though first. We'll make him wear. This is a great place to wrap up. This was a great minute. It's funny how much energy we had talking about this minute, whereas the last minute like sucked the energy out of us.
Yeah.
Trying to talk, we're like, I don't know. He's on a motorcycle. Now he's getting tetanus. I don't know. You know, this is Mission Impossible. This is fun. This is hand-to-hand combat. This is the stuff that we are in this movie for. And luckily, we get a whole nother week of this.
But we don't.
Actually, 2 weeks. No, you're done. Yeah, you're exactly. Done. We're done with both of you. We're going to go into Tech of the Ep. All right, on three, we're all going to jump into each other's arms and get a big hug and then fall sideways.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of work, but we're going to do it. Ready? One, two, three.
No!
Oh, thank God we landed on Chris.
Yeah.
Chris, thank you for breaking our fall.
You're welcome.
He's always there for us when we need him.
He is. Chris, you're always sandwiched in between us when something happens. You're either under us.
It happens.
All right. Well, I need you to take care of yourself, buddy.
I'm doing what I do.
You are this podcast's pillow. Thank you for always being there for my podcasting head. That sounds weird. Let's start with you, Chris. Tell us what tech of the app.
I'm going with the technique of the app, which is the cutaway to the gun hitting the sand and do that quick zoom into it. I love that. That's my sort of thing.
In a shot that makes no sense, that's a good shot.
Yeah.
You know, like a little series of shots.
Yeah.
It's
probably the most necessary shot because it's going to come into play.
It is the most. It's like, guys, you need to remember this gun.
Yeah, don't forget about this gun.
Tabitha, what about you?
Air hugs. So that's
air hugs are the best.
Kind of a technique of the upneek. But
I just got one from you guys, and it was fantastic. So
I know they're nice, aren't they?
It didn't hurt as much as I thought it would because Chris took most of the impact.
I did all the impact.
Yeah, we should do them more often.
We should. Air hugs. Air hugs from now on. That's how we're saying hi to each other, all of us. We're just leaping into each other's arms and then falling to the ground.
Completely.
That's going to make Portland really weird.
I know. It's going to be funny.
Not if people listen to your podcast.
I'm going to have, like if Jonathan and I see each other, or Tabitha and I see each other from across the room, we just go running and jump on a table and then both leap into each other's arms and then just like fall to the ground. People are like, what just happened?
Oh, why does everybody?
That was an air hug.
Why does everybody have broken limbs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we'd all be broken. I would accidentally, my forehead would hit your head. It would be awful.
Oh, I'd die.
It was worth it. It was worth it. Worth it for the air hug.
Totally.
Julia, what about you?
Kind of pairing off Tabitha's, the harness system that made the air hug possible, that lifted them miraculously off of their bikes.
Yes.
It was just so okay. It was.
Yeah, they just rise up off the bikes. It
was,
it's great.
Majestic.
It was like majestic. Like the Lost Boys, you know? When they fly out.
Well, that's all the leather and denim. That's just, you're just confusing it with all the black leather and denim.
Oh, at the end when Michael and David go flying at each other, air hug around.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, same thing. Only no motorcycles.
I'm going to pick the hand-to-hand combat.
Oh,
I like the close quarter kicks. Kicks to the head, a couple punches, a move to break a leg that Ambrose gives to Ethan, and then an eventual sleeper hold to end this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's my tech of the ep. So I'm happy to talk more about this next week. We won't have you guys. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is now you can promote some stuff on our way out for this week. Tabitha, tell us what's going on.
What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, I do not host a podcast myself. I just kind of bum around and guest on other people's podcasts. So
it's a damn shame. You should have your own.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
Maybe
someday. Recently, I guested on Marvel Movie Minute, where they were talking about Iron Man, the first Iron Man, 1 minute at a time. And they are wrapping, as of its recording, they're wrapping up this week. But you can still go back and listen to that. So Marvel Movie Minute, catch me on there.
Yeah, Chris and I are on. We talk about... We talk about not liking Terrence Stamp.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were on that. It's a good
show.
It's
a fun podcast. They do a really good job, and they're going to go through all the Marvel movies, so they'll be doing this for a long time.
They'll die before they do
that. I think so.
No one's finishing that alive.
As many movies as we do.
That's being willed to the children. Yeah. Julia, tell us about your stuff.
Well, I co-host a show similar to this one about the Mad Max series. That's Mad Max Minute. You can find it, you know, anywhere that podcasts are sold. And then also join us for discussion and sharing of articles that we reference in the show at our Facebook page, which is Mad Max Minute Beyond Microphone.
Awesome. Ladies, it was very nice to have you on. I love having you guys on. You're great guests. Thank you again.
Thank you for having
us. My pleasure.
Yeah.
It was a lot of
fun this week.
So much fun.
It always is. It always is. That's why I have you guys back on.
Oh, thanks. I'm just so excited I got to talk about this minute because it was my favorite minute of the entire movie.
Me too.
So thank you.
It's my favorite minute too. So until next week, you can find us anywhere at MinuteImpossible.com and on our Patreon. Thank you again to all of our patrons. We really appreciate all the support you've given us over the past few months. And as we go toward the end of the show, we're going to be doing ramping up a lot more Patreon stuff. So be checking that out. If you're not interested yet in joining, just go and look at our Patreon at patreon.com/MinuteImpossible and just bookmark it. And then maybe at some point it'll be interesting enough that you'll want to join. So, or your FOMO will get too high. You'll just be like, we're having such a great time. I want to be involved in this conversation about these really cool episodes. So yeah, go join. Until next week, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Tabitha.
And I've been Julia.
This minute will self-destruct. 've got to do take of the week. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll do it next time. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Yep, bye. Air hugs. Bye. See ya.